I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, New Orleans. Beautiful morning. Thank God it's Friday. We got a great show for you today. A lot going on. Cheap Trick's playing out at the Sanger Saturday night at 7:30. If you're looking for something fun, Tales of the Cocktail is in town this weekend. So many different things going on with that as well. P-Rog races in Lafitte, Barataria Waterway, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., live entertainment, food, all kinds of things. The Gretna Farmers Market, Saturday as well, 8:30 to 12:30, and the list goes on and on. I pulled it up on the Advocate and Gambit. There are so many different activities. I mean, it must be 16 pages long of what's going on around the city. So, I mean, we got to consider ourselves lucky. A lot to choose from, a lot of different things going on. It ought to be a lot of fun. We got a great show today. We'll have No Filter Friday in the last hour. In the second hour, we're going to talk to the new Jefferson Parish School Superintendent. It's been here several months now. Dr. Cade Brumley comes from DeSoto Parish, where he made incredible gains in their testing scores and a lot of what they do in the school system there, and he's now starting his first full school year in less than a month, and we'll talk to him about the challenges of being a school superintendent. And on the line, joining us at the present time, is Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. And Mike is with us to talk about tariffs and what they're going to do to our Louisiana products that we ship overseas. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Good morning, Newell. How are you?
Doing great. Always good to have you on the show. This
Absolutely.
Is our first time. Looking forward to it. You know, have a lot of respect for the job that you do. You get around quite a bit. I don't know when you get home at all. But, you know, representing the farmers and so many other folks that are, you know, ancillary to the farming industry and agriculture and forestry, a big, big time industry in Louisiana.
It is. And if you look, you know, we're talking about exports, you know, important fact to start with, Louisiana exports of all of our different products worldwide account for 20% of the state's gross domestic product. And again, exports of all types, 20% of Louisiana's GDP. So we are a maritime state, and most people really don't think about Louisiana as one of the top export markets, you know, actually in the world. Port of South Louisiana, for instance, is the largest tonnage port in the world. And so exports and markets, you know, what's going on worldwide is very important to Louisiana, not only for what we raise. And if you look at the value of Louisiana's exports in 2017, $56 billion. If you look at the value of the agricultural production and exports from Louisiana, we export abroad and across the United States from Louisiana $8.3 billion of our $13 billion in production. So the worldwide markets, all of these issues are very critical and make a significant difference in the overall economy of the entire state.
Mike, there's been some question. Have all of the tariffs been put in place as of yet? I think they have been on steel and aluminum. There still seems to be some push-pull tug-of-war on agricultural products. Is that true or is that
absolutely.
Not true?
Absolutely. You're absolutely on the mark. A number of the tariffs have been placed on steel. There are a number of different meetings as processes they go through, and that's between each country. And remember, you know, we're dealing with tariffs now on multiple levels, you know, China, Canada, Mexico, you know, European Union, so many different countries. All of this is in motion simultaneously. And so with each state and each nation, you know, and there's a lot of decision-making that has to go on as to the overall effect on the domestic side and on the foreign side and what the repercussions will be. So this is like a very large chess game. And if you think about it, so it's almost like playing chess on a table the size of a football field in multiple levels. So there's everything in motion. All of our negotiators are there. And this is moving, you know, pretty rapidly, and I think it's going to move rapidly. But I think what we've seen now in the agricultural markets, I think we found the bottom for this year. Actually, if you look at the trading in the last 2 weeks, the markets have been advancing in a positive fashion after taking the initial decline, which was pretty significant. You know, if you go back, you know, just 3 months, if you look at soybeans 3 months ago between then and now, you know, they're down by more than $2, and corn's down by, you know, almost a dollar, dollar and a half. But they're starting to move forward. There's some key indices that are going on we're watching very closely because what's happened, whenever you have worldwide disruption, which is what we have now, there is generally a decrease in supply because less crops getting planted. And actually, as we speak, we are going to have worldwide a severe reduction in the amount of corn that's available for use for next year. And even though the corn is down to like 343, you could see an immediate spike upwards once these trade negotiations have been concluded.
So, Mike, when we think about, you know, the amount of soy that we export, and, you know, this whole problem stems from China's export to U.S., $505 billion, U.S. exports to China, $130 billion, you know, somewhere around $365 billion trade deficit for the U.S. And I love the analogy of the chessboard, but when we think about soy here in the state, is there an alternative crop if we have a decrease in acreage for soy that we can move to?
Well, whenever you look at what farmers do, they're always moving towards a crop that will better help them cash flow. However, if you look at where soybeans and corn, your rotation is soybeans, corn, or cotton. And cotton acreage is actually growing a little bit, but over the, if you look at the, you know, the five-year average, you know, we'll probably have about 200,000 acres of cotton. Cotton prices have been a little bit better. They have went down a little bit, but they're still, you know, fairly strong at about 88 cents. We've seen them at 92. The thing about soybeans, we've been moving towards soybeans for years, and we're at about 1.2 million acres of soybeans. Soybeans, even at the current price, you know, in today's market of about $8.61, if you look at corn, corn's at $3.51. And so we're going to see probably less corn acres and more soybean acres because it's soybeans, you know, it's still potentially more profitable than corn. So can you switch rapidly? And again, to what? I mean, I don't think we're going to see more corn acres. I think worldwide there's going to be a corn deficit, which could result in next year. But also, for the first time in the United States, we're probably going to have more soybeans than corn planted. That being said, you know, more than 60% of the soybeans that are produced in the United States are exported, majority of that to China. Overall, in the United States, 1 in 3 acres of America's agricultural production is exported off our shores. And most of our corn, a lot of our corn outside of Louisiana is used in our own ethanol and our own feedlots, you know, to feed livestock. Most corn in Louisiana, that which is not used by our chicken farms, is exported because we're downriver. So there's, you can't really switch very large, you know, when you're talking about 1.2 million acres to go immediately to another crop, I don't think we're going to see that. I think we may see less soybean acres, but I think they're going to be back in soybeans.
So then a dangerous proposition of taking acreage out of the stream of commerce.
Yes, yes. And what happens, if you take the acreage out of stream of commerce, one, you know, it's really hard to hold and maintain those markets. But think about this. The amount of corn and beans and all the food products worldwide, there's not a lot of extra product available worldwide. So what we call the amount in stock to amount its use, stocks to use ratio, is very tight. So, you know, if China says, well, we're not going to buy American beans, we're going to buy them from Brazil. Well, whoever was buying from Brazil is going to have to buy them from us. There's simply not that much extra available product in the worldwide markets. So, but the thing about the markets, the thing about the prices, the thing about agriculture, business, everything requires stability. You and I are old enough that we remember how many years was the mantra that we're going to trade prosperity for peace, peace for prosperity on all these trade negotiations. And now we're at a point where we must right the ship. We must have fair, level trade across the board because in the long term, the economy of the United States, you know, we are a net deficit nation now. And as far as our federal government, we have to straighten this out. If we straighten this out, you're going to see a very positive impact, not only in agriculture, but all sectors of the American economy. So right now, yes, it is causing some angst. We are working hard. I visited with the USDA head of the Farm Services Agency, Bill Northey, who's a very good friend of mine, a former commissioner. He's working with Dr. Sonny Perdue, who is the Secretary of Agriculture of the United States, to try to figure out a way that we can help the farmers if the price drops low enough to where they can't cash flow this year. And so a lot of discussion, and it's the same discussion other countries are having, that take money from the tariffs that are being collected and put it back in the hands of the farmers to help offset that price differential till we can get this straight. But I think we're going to, I really think we're going to get this straight before the November elections.
We're talking to Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Mike, do you think that we have, you know, the economists are kind of divided on this. Did we absolutely reach the point of diminishing return, and that that Trump's timing on this issue was key and it had to happen now?
Well, it had to happen for a number of reasons. Number one, you talk about that trade deficit. It has been as high as $600 billion a year, continuous trade deficit with China. Number two, China was openly taking our intellectual property, taking our products, reverse engineering them, and selling them. And that's been a big key issue. And they just kind of
said, in the agricultural industry as well. Is that
absolutely
correct?
Absolutely. You know, if you look at Chinese crawfish, they're Louisiana crawfish that were then went and they were brought to China. Now they're sending them back to us. But when you look at that, it's critical. And if you look at where we're at in the United States, our economy is improving. Yes. We have the lowest unemployment rate in 75 years. Yes. We expect our GDP to hit 3%. But China's GDP is going to be at 5.1. India's at 5.1. We have to straighten this out. And part of the president's campaign pledge, well, we're going to stand toe-to-toe. So I think we need to support the president. What he's doing is taking a great deal of courage. He's standing up and telling the world that we are going to have a level playing field. If we want to send beef to Japan, there's a 24% tariff before all this started. Australia, it's a 14%, but we'll take all of their cars. I mean, it needs to be fair and honest across the board, and we can all play that. The American farmer can compete with anyone. The American manufacturer can compete with anyone. But those trade treaties have to be fair, and there has to be a way that if there is an issue with a shipment of whatever, that there can be immediate arbitration to deal with that. And you say, well, why is that important? For instance, if we send a load of rice to the European Union, and on the route there, say the price differential changes, and not in the favor of the EU, they'll say, well, you know, we found a part per billion of Liberty Link gene or something like that, and either we get it at a discount or you got to go sell it somewhere else. All that's got to stop. We need to have, you know, when you agree to this shipment, you agree to this shipment. We have to have arbitration. And then, again, it's got to be fair, and the quality's got to be the same. And that's another big deal. We're dealing with the Food Safety Modernization Act.
Hey, Mike, I got to get to a break. Can you stay with us through the break?
Sir.
All right. We got Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. And I knew that he would have the information that we were looking for, and already I'm convinced that he has. And we're going to talk about shipping and about political capital, because this is not an easy thing to take on politically when we return. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWF. We're back, and we're talking to Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. And Mike, thanks again for joining us. I know you had a busy schedule. I waited a week to get you on this show.
I know. I'll tell you. But it's great to be busy. I wouldn't know how to handle it any other way.
Let me, as I said before, this tariff thing has really been a push and a pull, and there's a lot of lawmakers in Congress that I think are experiencing a lot of angst and anxiety. And I asked you right before we went to the break whether this was the point of diminishing return for us. No president actually likes to really engage in this because there's not a huge political upside, a lot of political capital consumed. But this is kind of the typical worldwide cut off your nose to spite your face move, because the other side of the equation, China's hurting as well, and all of the other countries that we've got this trade dispute with. Correct?
That's correct. And if you look, yes, the administration is spending a tremendous amount of political capital. And the gains from this will be years from now. You know, we'll see a little immediate gain next year, but the gains will be over the next 25 years. Remember, these trade negotiations, if you look at NAFTA, that was started 30 years ago. We've been in it for over 25 years. So it takes a great deal of political courage, but we know in the long term this is what we must do. And so it's about the long-term commitment. And I have to, you know, give kudos to the president and to the administration because they are under a phenomenal amount of pressure. And I think we need to support the administration. This is the path we are on. This is the path we must take. And this is, we cannot back down. We have to stand strong, work together, negotiate forward, and then come out with, you know, some good trade. And if you look, you know, the free trade agreements, you know, if you look, the majority of our trade is with the countries we have these free trade agreements with. And so it is important. Now, you could sit back, not spend political capital, but you don't get anything done. And so, you know, all of us, you know, you and I have been in politics a long time, that, you know, you build political capital, and at some point you have to spend it. And you have to spend it when you truly believe in your heart that this is the right move. And, you know, I tell everybody, everybody needs to read the book Profiles in Courage, written by John F. Kennedy. Talks about those congressmen and senators that did the right thing, even though it wasn't necessarily politically popular, and you know, in the growth of this country.
You've talked to a lot of folks, both you know, domestically and non-domestic, about the movement of the agricultural products. What are you hearing from not only around the country but internationally?
Well, internationally, everyone knows we need to get this behind us and move forward. There's a growing demand for our products around the world. If you think about where we are at, we know that we have to produce more food between now and 2050. That's in 32 growing seasons than we have since the dawn of time. We also know that the increase in rate of production of these food products is lagging behind the increase in growth of the population. So we all have to work together and get this behind us as well. And one of the things that you know, food instability causes the greatest social instability in all of the countries involved. China has to make this work. India's got to make this work. We have to make this work. And I think the good news is that I don't think there can be any more pressure on any of the administrations. I've met personally with members of the Chinese delegation. I've met personally with members, you know, from Mexico. I've met several times.
Mike, I've got another break. Are you willing to stay?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to stay with Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Got to get to this break. CBS News will be right back. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and we're talking to Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. And folks, if you don't think that this is an important job, he's got the pulse on two of the major industries in this state, agriculture and the forestry industry. And it's, as he pointed out earlier, the state GDP is really heavily reliant on both of those. And Mike, as we were talking about your conversations with both domestic players as well as non-domestic players, what are the domestic guys saying?
Well, our domestic guys are really putting pressure on us that we need to get this resolved because, one, we're looking at contracts for next year. So this is where the rubber could hit the road, would be in the 2019 crops. And, you know, so we know where we're going. You know, we see, you know, the prices. And the prices as they are now, it's very hard for farmers to make a profit at the current prices. Also, we're concerned about if there's a shift in overall trade, the effect it will have on our ports. If you look at, for instance, the port of Baton Rouge here, and each port, every ship that comes in leaves at least $1 million just in the economy of the ship. And every ship that leaves takes $35 to $50 million worth of product. And so as so much of our GDP, 20% of our GDP depends on exports, that is critical. And again, since the port of South Louisiana and then you take the port of New Orleans and the ports below New Orleans, those are the largest port systems in the world. So this is absolutely critical, and a shift in our exports can mean a tremendous change in the overall number of jobs. If you look at the number of jobs, estimated 155,000 jobs were supported by Louisiana export cords, exports, and that's the 2015 number. And so it's a tremendous part of our economy. So there's pressure, and, of course, we're communicating with everyone. You know, I've had phone calls on the way here this morning talking about a number of our major grain dealers and brokers trying to, you know, figure out there's ways we can expedite this. And, again, we are working. I know all of our negotiators. I know Ted McKinney personally. I served with him. He's with the USDA. He's over the Foreign Export Service. You know, Mr. Lighthizer, who's the trade ambassador. Others are working diligently. But the pressure is on us. Get it done. They said, okay, we support the administration. We know we have to do this, but we need to get it done. And then we also need to see if there's a fail-safe coming in place in case for some reason we do not get it done to go south.
Yeah, and these shipping schedules, you may or may not know the answer to this question. How far out in advance do they validate those?
Oh, when you start looking at contracts, you know, when we're booking stuff into 2019 now, so all of that is way in advance. And we sell grain and buy grain in advance. And so a lot of those contracts, you know, for those ships, when you start looking at the trends, and one of the things we have seen is that China is not moving forward with a significant number of contracts going into 2019. What happens, if when the shippers look at this, they're going to be looking to see where that's going because those ships can't stand still. An average ship just standing still is around $45,000 to $65,000 a day just to stand still. And that's the medium-sized ship, and not the great big ships. And so everyone is always, we are looking forward. If you look at what goes on the boards of trade, you will see the price changes in the commodities is usually about 8 weeks out all the time. And so all of that is backdated. So everything is in a constant motion, whether you're talking about containers, rail cars, whether they go to oil or agricultural products, where the ships are, the price of the shipping, whether or not we can get the containers on the ships from the ports of New Orleans or through the ports of Alabama or Florida. So everything is long-term. You don't move shipping quickly.
Let me just ask you this, you know, put forth this situation. Argentina's had a drought, so they have a depressed soybean yield right now, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And Brazil, the other folks, they don't really have the additional acreage available. So when you think of that as it relates to shipping, what's the alternative product that China goes to?
Well, soybeans is the number one source of protein, you know, for feeds, you know, for animal feeds and others. So when you start looking, where do they go if they can't go to Brazil and Argentina? It is rather limited. You know, there's some, you know, parts of the Ukraine that produce a lot of things like Milo and other products and
right.
wheat. You know, you can have a shift. If you can't get beans, you have to use other products. And at the end of the day, though, again, there's limited supply. And the thing about Brazil, you know, if it's dry, they don't have a lot of product. If it's really rainy, they can't get their product out. They have infrastructure issues.
Right.
And so one of the things we talked about corn this morning is the fact that we know the worldwide amount of corn that's available is markedly reduced. And I think you're going to see that immediately. And if you're watching the corn, you know, on the tick, it's moving up because now the world's realizing that it's not there, and the same thing could happen to soybeans. So what could happen immediately, you know, if we don't have enough product available, either from drought or from lack of planting, worldwide, lack of planting, then as we move into next year, you could see the value of those commodities, the price of those commodities, literally skyrocket. And then again, that creates instability in the whole system. And so that's why, it's important we try to deal with that. But everything's worldwide. And if you look at China, you know, China says, well, we're going to impose these tariffs on American products. The tariff is imposed and paid for by the entity buying the product. Who buys the product? The Chinese government. Who collects the tariff? The Chinese government. So if you look at the tariffs, you know, with the Chinese and with a communist country, it's a little bit different than it is with a private company, with a capitalist country.
Right. And, you know, this is kind of so if the feed goes up, the beef goes up, it's kind of that old song, knee bones connected to the leg.
Yes. And the thing about commodities, those price shifts can be rapid and dramatic. And again, because there's not a lot in storage, these are perishable products. And, you know, just the amount that's available to the amount that's produced is very, very, very tight. And it cannot remain in storage indefinitely. And if you look at also when you start talking about beef, for instance, it takes about 4.5 pounds of grain for a pound of beef. So the price of beef, that is leveraged, you know, multiple times by the change in the price of the grains. And so You know, each particular product, the amount that they can shift in price depends on the price shift of the feed that goes in there, and that is multiplied depending on whether it's beef, pork, or poultry.
Well, Mike, I knew that and was confident that you were going to be able to make sense of this for us and bring it down to a level that we could all understand. This whole thing is not very nimble and is very fragile when you think about it, the overall system.
It is. It is. And that's why we have those diplomats in place. They're very good at what they do. And, you know, our message, everybody needs to sit down, let's hammer this out, and let's get in motion. Just like our dealings with Cuba, you know, we need to come and move forward. We are now selling pesticides, seeds, and fertilizers and other things to Cuba. We need to change the system where we can sell them food. But there's a tremendous market there, too. Every market is critical to our Louisiana economy.
All righty, Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great weekend.
You too. Take care.
Really appreciate it. We'll be right back. If you got any questions, 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. And we just have some breaking news as well on some tariffs, and we'll talk about that when we return. This is Newell on WWL. On the Blue Runner Opinion Poll, should the tariffs placed on Chinese goods be lifted? 84% of the respondents say no. On the text line, Dr. Mike Strain, what a capable man, color me impressed. Yeah, I was very impressed, and I that was my expectation. I mean, he really does have his finger on the pulse of what's going on in the agricultural and forestry business in Louisiana, and we are well represented there. Another text says, funny, Mike never mentioned government-backed price insurance to farmers. No, he did. In fact, one of the additional things that they're talking about is taking the tariffs that are actually paid to us and putting that into a fund in order to help stabilize pricing for farms. Remember, these are transitional remediation techniques to try and carry them through to when there hopefully is an agreement that's hashed out. And that's the reason why I brought up the point of whether or not we had reached a point of diminishing return when you think about the trade deficit that we have with China alone. Just under $400 billion. 40% of U.S. exports to China are going to be affected, and 10% of their exports to the U.S. would be affected. Just in the tariff war alone, you can see that we have become a loser. But it has to be kind of a check and a wake-up call. And from the folks that I'm talking to, we have been able to get China's attention. The question really is going to be how long is this going to go on and how long can both sides of this equation suffer? And who can take the hits for the longest? CBS News just issued a report talking about that tariffs on car imports could raise prices by nearly $7,000. There's a proposed 25% tariff on imported cars and auto parts from Europe and elsewhere. And a local dealer, actually not local here, but up on in the Northeast in New York, is talking about consumers having to shell out nearly $7,000 more per vehicle. And they have some examples. The Honda Civic could cost an extra $1,100. The Ford Escape up nearly $1,600. And the Audi Q5 could run nearly $6,000 more. So as they talk about this, they said 20% of the U.S. economy is based on the automobile business, whether that be insurance companies, advertising, banking. Every industry that is in that microeconomy of the automobile economy within this country, and if you think about the trickle-down effect, there's so many that help that deal with that. Interestingly, though, too, 44% of all U.S. car sales were from imported vehicles. I knew the number was high, but I had no idea it was that high. Give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking. 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. Got to get to a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Hot off the presses, 11:18 this morning, Fortune magazine. President Trump speaking with CNBC. He's ready to place tariffs on every Chinese good imported to the U.S. as the trade war between the two countries escalates. Trump said, I'm ready to go to $500 billion, referring to the $505.5 billion in Chinese imports the U.S. took in last year. Currently, the administration has only put tariffs on $34 billion worth of Chinese products. President Trump goes on to say, I'm not doing this for politics. I'm doing this to do the right thing for our country. We have been ripped off by China for a long time. I don't want them to be scared. I want them to do well. I really like President Xi a lot, but it was very unfair. So it's obvious he's doubled down. He is looking across that poker table and is going to see what the reaction is going to be from the Chinese, obviously. And we're going to have another show next week about tariffs, because we're a shipping industry. We're an agricultural industry, forestry industry, chemical industry, energy sector industry here. Louisiana is kind of the gumbo of any number of things. We've got the Mississippi, the shipping alone. Someone texted in, a friend of mine that's in the business, talking about, you know, a dozen or so ships in here all the time, waiting 2 to 3 weeks at the grain elevators to load up their ships in order to get across the oceans to China and abroad. And it's critical. And you heard what Mike Strain said about the fact that every time these ships come, they're leaving basically $1 million at the very least in services and this and that and everything that is spent on servicing these ships. So this is all very critical to the economy of Louisiana. So it's incumbent upon us to keep our finger on the pulse of this to see exactly what's happening. And I'll say it again, I don't know about you, but I think Dr. Mike Strain, the commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, he has his finger on the pulse of this. And obviously he's in constant communication with any number of folks. So that's a good thing. It's now time for the cash contest, ready for your chance to win $1,000 in the Intercom National Cash Contest. The code word for this hour is FACE, F-A-C-E, text F-A-C-E, to 72881. That's 72881. Text now and you could win $1,000 cash. Listen for the next code word just before the top of the hour, every hour now through 6 p.m. $1,000 is up for grabs. Win it for your wallet. Good luck from all of us at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive. We'll be right back after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.